You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of David Gorin in Brooklyn, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service DOA Newscast, April the 19th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Across the U.S., most political boundaries tied to the 2020 census have been in place for a while, but a national project on map fairness for indigenous populations continues to fight for changes.
When states did their redistricting a few years ago, the Native American Rights Fund launched its Fair Districting in Indian County effort. It provides resources and legal representation to tribal communities worried about newly drawn districts that could suppress their voting power. NARF staff attorney Michael Carter says there's been a lot of activity.
Just from this redistricting cycle alone, tribes have stepped up and decided that what the state and county governments are doing is not right.
He points to several cases with various levels of success, including two high-profile ones from North Dakota. I'm Mike Moen.
A group of Republican attorneys general contends that private groups and individuals do not have a right to file lawsuits under Section 2, but Carter says there's a separate provision used in North Dakota that does provide that opportunity. And all 12 jurors plus an alternate were selected this week to serve on the jury in former President Donald Trump's trial in New York, after they made it clear to both sides they could render a fair and impartial verdict. That from NBC News. They report a lawyer, a banker, a speech therapist are among the 12 jury members seated. Meantime, CNN reports Judge Mershon said the court will resume Friday morning. Jury selection expected to continue until the remaining alternates are seated. The judge also said he's aiming to hold a Sandoval hearing where he can be asked if previous bad acts can be brought up by the prosecution for the trial. And with Alzheimer's cases on the rise in states like Connecticut, experts say people should consider early health care planning.
A new report shows around 77,000 of Connecticut's 65 and older residents were diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2020. This is below other estimates, but Jessica Empeño with Compassion and Choices says understanding a person's care wishes is a good first step. She adds it's not just about the big things, but the little ones too.
Being able to wake up and look out the window and have my coffee in my favorite mug every morning is what's important to me, right? It can start with those little things that help people understand who you are and what you hope for in your final phase of life.
Compassion and Choices Dementia Values and Priorities tool is online. It helps people document their healthcare wishes before developing dementia or an illness affecting their decision-making abilities. Empeño thinks people should update their plans every 5 to 10 years rather than creating them just once. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
A common mistake in healthcare planning is completing an advanced directive but not telling anyone about it. This is Public News Service. A new Gallup and Lumina Foundation poll unveils a concerning reality that Hoosiers may lack clarity about the true costs of their higher education.
The survey reveals that merely 23% of U.S. adults without college degrees could estimate the annual net cost of a bachelor's degree from a public college within $5,000 of the actual expense. The repercussions of the financial fog are overwhelming for students like Gabriella Espinoza, a 27-year-old nursing student at IUPUI in Indianapolis. She says looming debt from school cast a shadow over her future.
I'm trying to figure out what my debt is going to look like and how long that's going to take me to pay off. I'm luckily in a position right now where I live at home with mom and she's been helping me out. You know, eventually I'd like to think about moving out, moving on my own.
75% of those polled believe a bachelor's degree is extremely or very valuable. However, cost is a major deterrent for many who wish to get a degree. I'm Joe Ullery, Public News Service.
And an annual March for Farm Workers' Rights is being held Sunday in Northwest Washington. More now from our Eric Tigetoff.
This year, marchers are focusing on the conditions for local tulip and daffodil workers. Alfredo Juarez with the Farm Workers' Rights Organization Community to Community Development says tulip and daffodil harvesters are raising concerns about pay, pesticide use near where they're working, and the need for clean restrooms. He says the march coincides with the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival.
During the tourist season, when you show up here, you see all the beautiful flowers of different colors, design, but the work that goes into making all that happen is done by the workers and the people that you don't really see. You just see the flowers.
The Skagit Valley Tulip Festival is the largest tulip festival in the country and draws 1 million visitors annually.
Finally, from Ross Brown, balancing the needs of the many with those who have traditionally reaped benefits from public lands is behind a new rule issued Thursday by the Bureau of Land Management.
A 250,000 acres of public lands, including 13 million in New Mexico, now fall under the public lands rule. The BLM is charged with managing multiple uses, but has historically prioritized extraction, such as oil and gas drilling, along with cattle grazing, over conservation and outdoor recreation. The New Mexico Wildlife Federation's Jesse Dubell believes the new rule is more fair-minded.
I really feel like this new rule doesn't minimize those other things. Those other uses are still going to be allowed to continue, but now decisions are going to be made with conservation in the forefront. And of course, conservation, by definition, is the wise use of our natural resources.
I'm Roz Brown.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. You can hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and you can always find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Tannersville to 44 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 47 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today is going to start out dry and a little windy with a high of 58 at 3 p.m. Around 5 p.m., chances for rain enter the area. It continues all night, and up in the mountains, you can expect winds to get gusty. We get a low of 46 degrees. Saturday, rain ends around sunup and things turn sunny, especially in the afternoon. We get a high temperature of 59 at 3 p.m. Rain is expected for the mountains in the afternoon, and some of that could venture into lower areas, so check the radar before heading out. Make sure plants are protected because temperatures hit 36 degrees overnight. Sunday will be a bit windy and mostly sunny with a high of 56. Monday reaches 57 degrees, still dry. Chance of frost in the morning. Sunset today will be at 7:26 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:03 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances today are at 20%. That could lead to some extra dropped calls and malfunctioning GPS units. Plasma winds will be average at 403 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 14 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 247. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance. Now get off my back. Tell him what we said about painted black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside, well, it's okay. Now
heard Big Stock.
Turn out for Wayfarms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXE show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXE. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges, Ariel and Gloria, of WGXE show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXE show Vinyl Freedom, to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org.
Let's head to Copake now with PG6, or Pat Gubler. This is PG6's Quiet Fan for SK on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This week's Peace Bucket on Hudson Mohawk Magazine is divided into two sections. The first half reports on a rally organized by college students at the state capitol on Monday, April 15th, to call on the SUNY administration, the governor, and state lawmakers, and Comptroller Tom DiNapoli to halt doing business and investing in Israel, at least until they stop the genocide in Gaza. The rally of several hundred people marched from the state capitol down to SUNY Central Administration. We hear from Samara Sangeri with Black Lives Matter from Saratoga, Adrian Antonioli from Skidmore College, Peter Lavigne, a SUNY professor and co-chair of the Green Party of New York State, and Iyad Al-Karabi of the Queer Palestinian Empowerment Network. In the second half, we hear from Fred Nagel as part of his weekly activist radio segment from the Vassar College radio station.
Samara Sangeri, she's a poet, a human rights scholar with a BA in Holocaust Genocide Studies, and a co-founder of Saratoga Black Lives Matter.
Call and response right now. Have much to talk today, and I come here because I always talk about the struggles and the interconnectedness of our fights and our movement.
Yes!
That Palestinians, just like indigenous peoples, just like black Americans in America, have fought against the chains and oppression of tyranny, just like Palestinians. It is simple as to why our fights are interconnected. Just like the Black Panther Party, who got messages, Angela Davis, got letters from Palestinians talking about how they support her, how they fight for her, all the way in Palestine.
I hope and I pray, and we are here to see that this work that we've been doing in the past months materializes in a free, liberated, and independent Palestine. I'm a student organizer with Skidmore for Palestine, and we have spent the past 6 months demanding that Skidmore cut ties with Israel, whatever they may be. All of Skidmore's runs on HP, a company that is actively providing the necessary technology, additionally has a professorial exchange program with Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, a school which has stolen the water from indigenous Bedouin Palestinians and is intimately linked to the colonization of southern Palestine and the maintenance and occupation of the Gaza death camp. The more I can say about Skidmore's complicity in genocide, about Skidmore's role in maintaining this false sense that if only we have enough dialogues, we can get through this. But we know that there is no dialogue to be had between the sword and the neck. There is only an intifada, there is only revolution, there is only boycott, divestments, and sanctions that can take down the occupation, that can put an end to the genocide, and that can free Palestine. I want to focus on the solidarity that I see here today. For our struggle at Skidmore to be successful, we need SUNY BDS to be successful. In our schools, in our isolated workplaces, in our own personal shopping habits, no one will hear, no one will listen, and no one will act. Instead, we must act collectively and connect and activate on all of our campuses. For a future where universities in Gaza are rebuilt, and that the history, the intelligence, and the creativity of Palestine and the Palestinian people will finally be free.
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Yeah, my name's Peter Lavinia. I'm the co-chair of the Green Party of New York State. I'm also a professor at SUNY Oneonta. And I'm here to support the Palestinian rights and to protest with SUNY BDS.
And so what's the call for divestment? What's the focus of today?
The focus is to divest from stocks and other parts of the SUNY fund that are invested in military stocks that fund Israel or weapons that are attacking Gaza.
And what's the Green Party's position on this whole situation?
We support Gaza and we support Palestinian liberation. You know, we support a Palestinian state in the Middle East, and we call for an end to the genocide that's happening in Gaza and a permanent ceasefire.
And what should Sunni and the state controller and the rest of them do? And the governor?
They should divest, and they should call for a ceasefire. It's an unconscionable moral crime what's happening in Gaza right now. And every instant that our elected leaders don't stand up for what's right, it's a moral failing. You know, the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, should stand up and say we're divesting from this, just like he should from stocks that invest in fossil fuel companies. And unfortunately, Tom DiNapoli has gotten away with it for too long and hasn't. But we need to put pressure on him, Kathy Hochul, and the legislature to do so.
Hi, so my name is Iyad. My affiliation is with QPEN, which is the LGBT Palestinian group nationally, locally the Palestinian Rights Committee, and as a Sunni alumni supportive of Palestinians organizing stuff.
And what was the message today?
To get Sunni to invest in human rights and divest from the state of Israel and divest from the war economy.
And have you had any response so far from Sunni?
Not really. I did try to let them know before we send the protest, come meet with us and do this anyway, but I guess we're going to have to.
Next is Fred Nagel of Activist Radio at Vassar College radio station.
Our first story is from Middle East Eye. A group of graduate students at Yale University launched a hunger strike on Friday in protest against the institution's investments in companies providing Israel with military weaponry. Students argued the university is profiting off what a growing number of Americans say is a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza being carried out by Israel. The hunger strike was launched after students with the group Hunger Strikers for Palestine sent a letter to the Yale president Savoy on Wednesday demanding that the university divest from its investments in companies providing Israel with military technology. Quote, "In the total non-response of any kind from the institution we are speaking to, the final thing we can do is put our life on the line, our health and our well-being." Well, no response for the mainstream media either on this, except for Fox News, which sort of suggested the students had access to food if they wanted it and, you know, were lying about the fast, essentially. But I don't think our media wants this story to spread. There are tens of thousands of college students looking for something more powerful as we watch the children of Gaza starve to death. The second story is from Truth Out. In reality, the Biden administration has the power to stop Israel's offensive in Gaza in its tracks. Although Congress authorizes military aid, the president has the authority under the Arms Export Control Act to withhold, or threaten to withhold, the military aid when the recipient nation violates U.S. or international law. In terms of the international legal system, Israel is currently violating the Fourth Geneva Convention regarding the treatment of civilians in wartime, among a number of other statutes, and it's violating the UN Security Council Resolution 2728, which demands an immediate temporary ceasefire. Israel is also in violation of Section 502B of the 1961 Foreign Assistance Act, which prohibits aid to countries that prevent access to humanitarian relief supplies, and the 1999 Leahy Amendment, which prohibits funding foreign security forces engaged in the commission of gross violations of human rights. And finally, Biden's own National Security Memorandum 20, which requires U.S. security partners to provide written assurance that they will use U.S. military assistance in accordance with international law and facilitate humanitarian aid. Instead, Biden has utilized emergency powers to bypass public and congressional oversight in providing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arms from U.S. stockpiles overseas, including Hellfire missiles, bunker-busting bombs, which have had a devastating impact on Gaza's civilian population. At the end of March, his administration approved billions of dollars worth of additional bombs and fighter jets to Netanyahu's forces.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next is 2023 new music from Algiers, with help from Sam Herring from Future Islands and Jay Matthews from Boy Harsher. This is the song called I Can't Stand It on 90.7 FM.
My heart is bleeding out. We'll be right back.